Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how many people think the way you do? How many people are in agreement, no matter which way you're thinking? And what kind of support do you have for your ideas and purposes? And so we want to understand how the minds of the public is working, and even those close to us are thinking different, perhaps. So to help us understand this world that we live in of so many different ideas and beliefs that to many of us don't make sense, is a man who's been on the show many times. I love his information and his whole approach to it is highly spiritual and aware and awake. So I want to reintroduce Ole Damgaard. Ole, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you so much, Peter. And I believe it's been your birthday, so happy, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm loving it and loving getting older. So, well, what else is there? but you're somebody who has your eye on so many aspects of this and work with so many experts. But the big thing that I think is the hardest to understand is how can there be so much confusion? You know, how can so many people have so many different ideas that can't even speak to each other?
I would like to answer like this, to make like a symbolic overview. I think that if we say the reality that most of us have been living in for many years, if we call that 3D reality, in 3D reality, most of us have grown up believing that if we just do what we're being told, if we obey, everything is good. You can trust the politicians. You can trust the news. The police is there to protect you. The military would never do anything wrong.
And trust your doctors.
Trust your doctors, pay your tax, and don't speak out. You know, whatever concerns, it's your problem, you know, so you deal with it because everything else is perfect. 3D reality. The thing is, the 3D reality has a sort of like a frame around it. And that frame is lined with fear. The fear of sticking out, the fear of what are the neighbors going to say, the fear of, you know, being odd or different and so on. But what most people in 3D reality is not aware of is that there's actually somebody controlling that area, the 3D area, keeping us there. And it's let's put it like that. In 3D reality, if you had a radio receiver, let's say that that's because this universe or matrix or whatever it is we're living in has certain rules, and some of the things in the universe, if not everything, is built on vibrations, frequencies. So in 3D reality, let's say that we have a radio receiver. It's brown, square, and it's playing Beethoven. Okay, so what happens is that many of us come to a point in life where through a trauma, a disease, a death, an accident, or just the inner spiritual work or drugs or whatever takes us, or mind expanding substances takes us to on a journey where we start raising this frequency. And it often takes us into like just like in between two radio stations, there's a time of where we're like nothing really makes sense anymore. We're starting to get confused and uncomfortable. We don't know where we're going, but we feel that I don't know, but I can't go back because it's just not me anymore. And so after a while, if we continue that journey, if we don't let fear push us back into 3D reality, we get to the next level, which some people call 4D reality. And in 4D reality, everything looks the same, but it's not. And it's in 4D reality where I would suggest that many people, many of us are now, where it's like suddenly we see that everything is upside down. you know, it doesn't make any sense. They say this is good for me. I see it's killing people. They say this is bad for me. I know it's doing really well. You know, it saved my dog's life. And now, and, you know, and you have people like, you suddenly see that this guy, he just misplaced $2.3 trillion. Nobody's even asking him a question. But if I park my car in the wrong place, it would be towed away and taken. You know, I'll be taken to prison if I don't pay the ticket, the fines. It's like, what is going? It's very, very upsetting and confusing. And you see that, like, it's almost like looking at a negative, the old negative for films where white is black and black is white. This is actually the world of the CIA and these intelligence agencies, where they say, just like in the JFK movie, please understand, we are behind the mirror. Black is white and white is black. So it's the exact opposite of what is true. And we, in 3D reality, we believe that picture because it's sort of the image that has been with light that has been pushed through it, we get this false image of reality. But the real reality is the negative. And so you start seeing that, I mean, social services that are there to protect your child, you suddenly see they're kidnapping kids from the families. So in 4D reality, the same radio receiver that is in 3D reality, this is a different radio station. So this one might be blasting Jimi Hendrix. We say it's the same looking radio receiver. It looks identical. And we say to the ones that we think would be interested, like our loved ones, the close one, our spouses, our kids, please, have you heard? It's Jimi Hendrix on the radio. And they're saying, no, it's Beethoven. Both are right, different frequencies. It's the same here, where in 4D reality, these vaccines, so-called things that are said to be good for us, in 4D reality, you see these are bioweapons of mass destruction. They are killing people. In 3D reality, they're being told, this is the way out. You will be saved. And so both are right, but it's different frequencies. And it's like the problem occurs when you start talking to the ones you have always been able to be close to, thinking that they would understand. But what they're saying is like, this individual is getting mad. I mean, he's talking about Jimi Hendrix. I don't even know who that is. Listen to Beethoven. This is the tune of the times. What is that, Peter? I mean, what is that? If not different frequencies where I believe that we're just on different levels of existence.
You also said that it's a raised frequency. So yeah. In other words, it's more sensitive and aware to things that other people are dense to.
True.
And so that's why they can't see it. I've been equating it to Harry Potter and that the higher frequency of the magical kingdom wasn't known or able to be known or seen by all the muggles in town. And in his family. And so it's yet the public, you know, can't understand because there are all these brilliant people who don't seem to see what we see. You know, these are scientists and doctors and lawyers and all kinds of people who have high intelligence. And they're also drinking the Kool-Aid of these lies that we see. I remember the last show I did with you, we were talking about how can you tell the difference between what's true and untrue? And you said, because you can smell it.
Did I say that?
Yes, you can. Well, you said okay. Smell the rat. And that really hit home to me is that I can smell it. You can smell the darkness, the lying, the evil of it that other people have no idea about at all. And what is that? How can there be that dichotomy? And I like what you're saying, that it's a different station.
And now when you say station, there was a guru type guy in 2010 that said that by the year 2012, humanity will be divided into two different groups. One will be like on a train station, that I would say maybe like 3D reality. The other one part will be on the train. And he's
going to the Harry Potter kingdom.
maybe. So by 2012, the train will start moving out. There's still a chance to jump on or off or so on. By the year 2015, the train will have started getting momentum. So it's harder and harder to reach each other. And he said, by the year 2020, no way, no way can you communicate anymore. And I think this is what is happening. At the same time, there's this, what I call the popcorn effect, where people, it seems like people that have had a very hard shell, their mind, but when there's put fire underneath, suddenly some of them that are open for just boom, their mind pops, and they suddenly see it like in an instant like this. Many, many people are waking up like that at the moment, I think. And it feels like that popcorn effect gives the ability to jump up to 4D reality from the station to the train. But it's like, if the person is not willing or is not interested, no way can you reach this individual. So this is why I always, as soon as I feel that somebody is still in 3D, I don't even go near anything that I know will challenge that individual, because I know it's not worth it. It's just, if you're into pain, feel free. If you're into self-torture, go for it. But otherwise than that, you will not be able to reach that individual. So what you can do is bless that person and speak to them about things that golf and cooking and whatever, you know, that has no real meaning in my life. But as soon as you get into what is your radio receiver playing, boom, it's a dead end. And it's a start of conflict and heartache. But this is where so many of us had this in families and between us and our kids. And
terrible.
It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. But to me like there's this birth process going on, that we're going through a birth.
Good.
Where, you know, like they say, as above, so below, when you look in a microscope and you look at how life is created, it starts with one cell. And then for some reason, that cell just say, well, I'm going to split into two. And it just go, and it's got two. And then they go into four and then go to 16 and onwards and onwards. It feels like maybe this is a similar process. I mean, who knows how the cell is feeling? Maybe it's really in agony and heartache by splitting from itself. Here we have humanity splitting into different groups of itself.
But the control forces, though, are instigating more and more fear, and that makes it harder for people when they're being told that if you believe in what these other people are saying, you must be crazy, and because they are crazy, and then all of a sudden people don't want to be crazy, so they say, well, tell me what to think.
And welcome to 1984, George Orwell, these type of books, they tell you exactly that is the mind, that is what they're striving for, because the rulers, or whatever you want to call them, the educators, I call them, because the worst assholes in our lives are the best teachers. And here these super psychopaths are teaching us big time, you know, if we choose to learn from it. So indirectly, we have to thank them, not their actions, though, that can just... I can use words that is not so nice. But anyway, so in the so-called rulers or manipulators have always been in 4D. It's from 4D that they control 3D, where they can control it through media and through mind manipulation, and so that they keep us in a fear mode, because it's on a lower frequency. Fear is a lot lower than the highest one, which is love. So they need to keep us in fear mode to keep us in jail. As soon as you're down on that frequency, you lock into 3D reality. So the only thing they need is to make you uncomfortable, scared, unsafe. You will stay there by yourself. So it's through people like Edward Bernays, who is the father of, I don't know what to call it, the father of public mind control, or also the father of marketing. He was an expert on psychological control weapons against the population, and indirectly marketing as well, because we're talking about the exact same thing here, how to get into the mind of people and make them believe in your solution, make them believe that they have a problem so that they will welcome our solution. So what he said was normal marketing, It's always done emotionally. You need to get to the emotions of individuals so that they will buy your product. If you don't get, this is why, you know, like if you got a dead boring product like a life insurance or you know, like get a free casket for your burial if you buy two or something like that. I mean, how can you sell stuff like that? You go emotional. That's why grandfather's out, you know, with the fiddles in the background and the angel song and so on. He's walking with the grandchildren and it's a sunset and they go emotional. And then can you really leave this world without taking care of your loved ones? You know, buy our insurance, you know, we can. It's so they need to go emotional. That is also why all of these false flag attacks are aimed at women and children to get the emotions going.
And once I've noticed like insurance companies nowadays, their commercials show people being harmed. They actually show accidents and you know, say, well, you need insurance, look. And try.
But they're tweaking it up. You know, it used to work in the 50s and 60s, just the emotional thing, you know, buy this sausage and they have a beautiful girl eating a sausage. That used to work. Now they have to spice it up because we're getting more and more numb as well, you know, through computer games and all the stuff. So they need to get the emotions up. How can you get people fearful when a three-year-old can sit and watch the Chainsaw Massacre without reacting? How can you get someone like that who's so numbed down emotionally or disconnected, whatever you want to call it, how can you get somebody like that fearful? So they are in a difficult situation. They need to tweak it up, tweak it up, tweak it up.
Right.
That's why these so-called viruses, I mean, like, was it the Zika virus that was eating the brains of babies? I mean, really, really? Do you know, like, how can they tweak it up after that one?
Yeah, so, amazing how powerful that is. But I want to look at something else.
Let me just go back to Edward Bernays, because what he said, normal marketing is vulgar. He thought that is so cheap, you know, to do it like that. You have a dirty sheet. Here is the washing powder. Buy it. Now, what he said, instead, you should create an atmosphere, so that people, without knowing it, will start longing for your product. So, for instance, he was hired by a company that was selling pianos. So instead of making a lot of ads saying, play piano, here's a beautiful piano, buy it, buy it, buy it. He went through, you know, home design magazines and architect publishings and stuff like that, where they started creating something that they called a music room. This is the new thing. You should have a music room. So there was nothing about pianos, but there's a lot about music rooms and then happy families sitting in the music room gathered around. What do you have in a music room? Do you have like a violin? Everybody gathers around a violin? No, a piano. So without even mentioning pianos, he got into the mind of millions of people that started creating music rooms in the 60s.
So then we can translate that, you know, into why people want to be jabbed. and
that is how, it.
Yeah. And then, but another thing that I heard recently from Bobby Kennedy, I watched him at a talk he gave, and he was talking about an experiment that was done in his Father's Day by the CIA at Yale University. And they had people come in from all walks of life, all kinds of people. And they'd come into a room with a man in a white coat. And there would be a man, and there would be a big dial. And they would say to the people coming in, you have to help us because there's a man in the other room we need answers from. And if he's not answering correctly, you have to turn the dial. And then you would hear the man in the other room screaming in pain because the dial upped his torture. And to the point where if you up it all the way, you actually kill the guy. And there was another room with a man who wasn't in a white jacket. And it didn't have the same effect as people would come in and a man in a white jacket would say, turn the dial up. And they would hear the screaming, and yet they would turn. So 2/3 of the people were willing to turn the dial up to the point of torturing the person to death. 2/3 of the general public was willing to follow instructions of a man in a white coat. So what are we seeing now are, you know, people in white coats telling us, you know, to get jabbed. And you follow instructions because these are authorities that count.
Mm.
So it's amazing.
It's incredible the weight we put into these white coats or certificates on the walls. But when you look at education, when you look at how education has been hijacked by these different, like the Rockefeller Foundation and other companies that have created universities, has funded education for doctors, for lawyers, for these other type of people that then are pushed up in the higher hierarchy of society so that we should worship them and look up to them as, oh my God, he's a doctor. You know, when you think of it like a doctor, do you know how many hours they spend about food and the knowledge of what you stuff in your mouth, what that has to do with your health? It's in the hours. And then when it comes to how to fill your patient with whatever is recommended, or pills and petroleum products and or being chopped or radiation, we've been told through propaganda, that is through mainstream media that is controlled by the same forces, to worship these people in white coats. It's the same like uniforms. You see the white coat, you don't see the person. It's the same with police, military. You see the uniform, you don't see the person. And that is also why this is one of the things they want to also with these type of, with the torture experiment you were talking about, there's a reason why this tortured guy was on the other side of the wall. There's a reason why they use drone pilots, you know, that are sitting in a comfortable room thousands of miles away from the victim, instead of them seeing right into the face when they stab them in the chest. Very few people can handle that. But the more you distance yourself, the easier it is for people to do atrocities. That's also why they use chemtrail pilots from, for instance, the Ukraine when they spray over England, and they use English pilots when they spray over Portugal. They use so that there's not the same emotional contact. You know, it's not one of ours, it's one of theirs. Then it's not as difficult to harm other people. So we are a strange species, I tell you, and a very easily manipulated species as well. The trickiest thing is that highly educated people, like in countries like Sweden and so on, the more educated they are, the less you believe that you are easy to manipulate. You think, no way could they do that with me. I'm telling you, these are the most easy ones to manipulate. The ones that believe that they're highly educated, the ones that have a high education and that believe in the institution and believe in the laws, they are the ones that are, and I also think the ones that have a very large responsibility, a very big responsibility for the rest of us to become aware, because we're looking up to them. We're looking towards the doctor saying, please tell me, is this okay for me to push into my baby's body? And when they say yes, you trust them. And I would say, unfortunately, we are in a situation now where we have to say, hang on, I need to do some research myself, because I'm not sure I can trust you at this point.
Right. And so, but in here, there was research about the education of the people who are least vaccinated or most, and turned out that people with PhDs avoided the jab more than others. And yet people with master's degrees were easily jabbed. So I think what they were saying is that it's the PhDs that actually are used to doing the research.
Could be.
And so we're getting near the end of the show. And I want people to know they can go to lightonconspiracies.com. And you have lots of videos and all kinds of interviews and panels you've been on.
I've got, I think, about 6,000 articles there. And I've been interviewed more than 1,000 times myself, which is also up there. We've tried to create like a platform where the information that is there is, as far as I know, trustworthy, so that it can be sort of, instead of people not knowing you know, and spending so much time just surfing around, not knowing who's credible, who's not. We've been trying to create a platform that you can use sort of like as a starting point, whatever it is you're interested in, their categories, and then you can use that as a platform and go up from there in your search for the truth.
This is why I like talking with you so much, because you know how to smell your way around, as you have said, and so I know that you're, you know, a critical thinker, and I really appreciate that. By the way, as we're ending the show, there was an interview I saw with somebody who was talking about similar subject matters as us. And in the end, he said, the one thing that we can depend on is that historically, evil has always destroyed itself.
Yep.
And I know that you are very positive about bringing light forth. And
you know, Mahatma Gandhi he said once that at times when I'm in despair, I remind myself that dictators have come and gone, and at times they've looked invincible, and then sooner or later they have fallen down by destruction from the inside. It's exactly what you're saying, and this is the difference between evil and the truth. I'm deeply in love with the truth, and when you look at how effortless truth is, you know, it needs no energy to just stand in its beauty, whatever the truth is, in whatever it is. Then you have conspiracies that are trying to cover the truth. They are like stinking piles of manure. And like when you have big cases, I mean, just imagine the effort it has to just keep pushing 9/11 forward, that whole massive pile of super lies, how much to cover up and lies on top and paranoia and being scared of each other and killing each other because, oh, blowback here and leakage there and whistleblowers there. I mean, there's no comparison. So the truth is so simple. It fears no investigation. It doesn't fear to be criticized. The exact opposite is when it comes to these forces.
That's a wonderful way. Just like, that's a wonderful way to end the show, but we've run out of time.
Yeah, because... Voltaire said many years ago, he said, to find out who controls you, find out who you're not allowed to criticize. And this is, in these days, the censorship is so hard. I just had my official Facebook page deleted, more than 30,000 followers. I just had my Twitter account deleted as well for hate speech and bullying.
Of course.
Hate speech, really.
We know how the mainstream is operating. So, Ole Damigod, thank you so much. I just really love talking with you. You're terrific, and keep up the great work. You really are a hero for so many of us.
Thank you so much, Birthday Boy.
Thank you. All right. All the best to you.
All the best. Bye-bye.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.